For the Roots We Take in the Dark. Written by Black Cat. Read by Opal Song. Fandom Star Wars. Rating Mature. Relationship Slick Mace Windu. Also tagged for Alternate Universe Role Reversal, Alternate Universe Canon Divergence, Undercover, Fake Out Make Out, and First Kiss. Produced for Marianas for ITPE 2023. Every day I just can't control.
Hey dear, stay here. 내 눈이 멀쩡가. No way, losing my way. Ay, no way, 멀어지기만 해. 아플 게 싫다 난 깊어 만감하면 어떡하냐.
There are no good options, and hardly any bad ones either. Slick's never enjoyed feeling like his back is up against a wall, and right now he's pressed up in a corner of a burning building with a pit full of stakes right in front of him. No escape, no matter which way he turns, no choices left if he wants to get out of this alive, and right now the best he can possibly do is pick the least unpleasant way to die. There isn't a drink in existence strong enough for tonight, Slick thinks, and throws back his shot with a grim, burning sense of realization thick in his throat that the alcohol does nothing to cut through. Maybe, if he's lucky, he'll get cut in half by a plasma sword. It doesn't seem to have slowed their general down, though, and Slick's not willing to bet that it would kill him outright. That would be too easy. If Maul finds out he's here? But Maul doesn't give a damn what they do in their rare bits of time off duty. As long as he's got a calm connection to his brothers and Rex to torture, he doesn't give a damn about anything. Especially not winning or losing or how many clones die in the process. Slick takes a breath, shoves the shot glass to the other side of the table, and desperately wants to signal the barkeep for another. But they're a droid and demand payment up front. Slick has just enough left from the round of sabaki won against a pair of Natborn officers to pay for a cab back to the base, though. And like hell he's going to walk. At least two patrols have gotten picked off already, and no one even found their bodies. Of course, no one looked that hard either. It's one of the reasons Slick is here. Chopper was in one of those patrols, and Slick tries so cripping hard not to care, because they're all just slagging cannon fodder for Dooku and his CIS war machine, but Chopper was weird, had lots of black marks in his record, and had almost been sent for reconditioning twice, and Slick had called in every damn favor he could think of to keep him from being dragged back to Kamino and turned inside out. A waste now. All a cripping waste, and they won't even let Slick take out a squad to look for him. The Republic wouldn't be any kinder to them. The Gar and its millions of droid soldiers just chew through clones like a harvester through wheat. There's nothing left in their wake. And the contact he's supposed to be meeting, arranged for so carefully and at so much risk to himself, hasn't shown up yet, even though it's 3 hours past their meeting time. Slick rubs a hand over his eyes, jaw set so tightly it aches. He needs another drink. Maybe that will make this seem like a better idea. He's a CIS soldier, and he's got the whole Republic after his head, and if anyone in this cantina decides to report him to either side, he's as good as dead, but He'd rather have the whole CIS army get wiped out than keep fighting for them even one more day. It's selfish and craven, and he doesn't care because the CIS officer they report to, some Trade Federation flunky in a fancy uniform, took one look at his request and told him that it was an inefficient use of manpower and the loss of a few patrols was acceptable, had been factored in even. And Slick had stared into his cold, dispassionate, crippling face and known that he was going to die for one of this man's plans. Just one more number to be thrown into the fight. He doesn't want to die. He won't. Not for them. Not as a slave. Marshal Commander Cody might get trotted out in front of the Separatist Senate in a nice uniform, given bootlicking lines to parrot like a pretty puppet, and be fed sweet little lies about how the CIS will take care of its soldiers in return. But Slick knows the truth. Even Cody does. They're all slaves. If, by some miracle, they survive this war and make it out to the other side, if the CIS burn down the Republic and rebuild it, the clones will probably be put in carbonite and stored away, ready to be used at a moment's notice. And that's the best-case scenario. Dooku's the kind of bastard who wouldn't hesitate to decommission all of them in one fell swoop. And then, quiet, there's a click of glass against wood right next to him, startling Slick out of his thoughts. He jerks his head up, tense and ready to bristle, and then stops short.
"You look as though you need it,"
the man says, quiet. He's tall, Karoon, with steady dark eyes and a scattering of strange branching marks across one cheek and down his throat. The hooded cloak he's wearing conceals almost everything else, but Slick can recognize the way he's holding himself. Trained soldier, he thinks, eyes narrowing as he sits back. Trained soldier or some kind of bounty hunter, maybe. "Yeah?" Slick asks, aggressive. "Maybe because assholes are interrupting my quiet time." The man snorts. Instead of taking the obvious hint, he sinks down into the open seat across the table, ignoring the 10 open tables all around them. The fact that he's got a nice face won't stop Slick from putting a fist into it if he has to, and he narrows his eyes at the bastard, then deliberately reaches out and picks up the drink. It's not the cheap shot Slick had bought for himself, and he sniffs it, but can't tell if the man added anything. At this point, it's hard to care if he did, and Slick takes a long swallow, grimaces as it burns going down, but manages not to cough. "Thanks," he says flatly. "Get lost." There's a pause, considering. The man watches him, dark eyes thoughtful, and then says,
"You're a clone. Isn't it dangerous to come this far from your base? You haven't captured all the territory in this area yet."
"Maybe I just want to drink that badly," Slick challenges, and risks a brief glance at the clock above the bar. It's getting late, and the contact he was supposed to meet up with hasn't shown their face yet. There's every possibility that Slick has been stood up, or his contact got nabbed by Republic or CIS forces, or anything.
"Just a drink?"
the man asks, raising a brow. He looks just slightly amused, a curve to his mouth that's more tempting than Slick wants to admit. If this man's trying to pick him up, it could make for a decent consolation prize. Slick will let the bastard take him home, pin the guy to the nearest flat surface and fuck him until he cries, and then bail before sunrise. It's not what he came here for, but, well, Slick's used to everything going tits up, his plans falling apart just when he finally decided to get the fuck out the only way possible isn't anything surprising. "I'm open to other suggestions," Slick allows, and tips his head back, makes a show of looking the man over. There's a pause, like surprise, and then the man snorts quietly.
"I'm Mace,"
he says, and tips his own drink at Slick. "Slick." He tosses back another long swallow, and if it's drugged, he can't taste it through the burn, but there's not much of a buzz either. That's one more disappointment about this evening, apparently. "Local?"
"Passing through," Mace corrects. I've been here for a few weeks, but I don't think I'll stay much longer.
Crifting help it of a place, Slick says viciously. Dunno why the hell anyone even wants to take this planet.
There's another pause. Careful. When Slick looks up, Mace is still watching him, still looking thoughtful. It's history, I presume, Mace says after a moment. There's a Jedi temple somewhere on the planet. It's presumed that the Jedi fled to their satellite temples when the main one on Coruscant was razed.
Slick snorts. Chancellor really thinks they're that stupid? He asks. That's where everyone would look, right?
Mace hums, mild agreement. It seems short-sighted to me as well, he says. But I suppose no one asked me.
Short-sighted is a nice way of putting it, and a lot more generous than Slick would be. He makes a derisive noise, sinking back in his chair, and takes another swallow from the glass. Explains why the generals had us slogging through every damn swamp he can find since we landed.
I've heard, Mace says, perfectly serious, that Jedi love swamps. It makes sense.
Slick rolls his eyes at that. Yeah, and I've heard Jedi can walk through walls and enchant men with a single look. Spacer tales. You're an idiot if you believe them.
There's a pause, and Mace takes a slow sip from his drink, his eyes never leaving Slick. Slick would be lying if he said the attention wasn't doing anything for him. There's a weight to Mace's steady regard, something that makes Slick feel like he's the only man in the room. After 12 years spent feeling like just another sentient suit of armor, it's enough to make him want to shift in his seat, take some pressure off his dick before he has an inappropriate reaction.
You know a lot about Jedi, then?
Mace asks, quiet.
Slick scoffs, fingers tightening around the glass. He presses it to his temple, looks away, and there are 1,000 ways he could answer that. Could talk about Kamino and being trained to serve under the Jedi as their generals, to fight for the Republic, and how 7 years ago all of that changed. Dooku took over, and suddenly all their lessons were in how to kill Jedi, how dangerous and treacherous and tricky Jedi were, how they encouraged corruption and stagnation and would try to kill the clones the second they entered the war.
Or, Slick thinks bitterly, he could talk about how none of that happened. The Jedi faced an army of cloned men with droid armies at their backs, and they refused to fight. They left the battlefield, walked away, protested, and got declared traitors to the Republic for it, right down to the last youngling.
Slick's heard one of their own turned on them, tried to wipe them out. Skywalker or something like that. Slick's never heard all the details and doesn't care to. The Jedi they were raised to revere never came to help them, and the Jedi they were trained to fear never raised their swords against them. And at this point, Slick is just tired. He's so criffing tired of it all. All he wants is to survive.
I don't know a damn thing about the Jedi, he says gruffly and puts his glass down, but I could stand to know more about you.
Mace smiles just a little. Then how about we go for a walk? He asks. The forest is quiet at night.
Because everyone's scared to set foot under the trees, Slick says sourly. But he pushes to his feet, watches Mace rise as well. Beneath the cloak, he looks tall and lean, and his clothes don't fit quite right, like he's lost weight recently.
Slick supposes that rationing has hit everyone hard, even people who wander.
Maul hasn't been shy about scooping up the best of everything for himself, even if the troops just get rations.
Well, most of the troops. Rex is Maul's favorite little pet and fed practically from his plate.
It would be sickening, except Slick can see perfectly well that Maul does it at least half to taunt Rex and half to taunt the Admiral assigned to their base, who hates clones even more than most of the Republic citizens do.
I've been here several weeks, Mace says, amused, and the most frightening thing I've encountered in the forest has been cloned patrols. I believe we'll be just fine. At least in the forest, there will be a big enough tree that Slick can pin him to it, and privacy enough that fucking in the open won't matter. Slick snorts, but follows as Mace leaves the cantina, with only one lingering glance back. If his contact is waiting, though, there's no sign of them so much as noticing Slick leaving, and Slick breathes out, turns, and keeps moving. One more plan down the drain. Hopefully he'll have time to try again before Maul or the Admiral send them charging headlong into the battle that's gonna get Slick killed. The cantina is at the very edge of the town, which is already in the middle of damn nowhere, pressed right up against the forest on one side and the swamp on the others. The trees start just a dozen or so paces away, the path thin and thready and twisting, but Mace starts down it like he knows precisely where he's going. Slake only hesitates for a moment. He knows there are houses out in the forest, has seen them on aerial maps, and Mace probably lives in one of them, given how familiar he seems with the area after only a few weeks. Hopefully, he'll be willing to give Slick directions back once they're done. Slake's doubtful that any hired speeder will be willing to pick him up out here. If I get eaten by something when I'm just looking for a quick fuck, I'm gonna haunt your ass like a damn Jedi ghost, Slick mutters, pulling his purloined jacket a little tighter as he falls into step with Mace. Griff, it's dark out here. Private, Mace says, but the cantina is out of sight behind them and there's an itch of impatience under Slick's skin. He reaches out, grabs Mace's arm and pulls him around, and when there's no protest, he shoves him back, one step off the path and right up against a huge, looming tree. Yeah? Slick asks, challenging, and pushes him bodily against the trunk, pinning him there. Mace is lean, like he thought, but there's an impressive amount of muscle, too, and Slick has to fight the urge to grind up against it. Private enough for this? Mace raises a brow at him, completely unruffled. He still just looks amused, and it makes Slick's blood heat with what could be anger or could be attraction or could be frustration. All he wants is to break that calm, shake Mace a little, get him breathless and maybe whining.
That depends, Mace says. What precisely were you intending to do, Slick?
Make you scream, for one, Slick says. And maybe it's cocky, but he's never gotten complaints. Want to get those tight pants undone for me, sweetheart? Mace makes a sound that's all amusement and loops his arms around Slick's neck. Behind them, back towards the cantina, there's a loud hum of speeders, multiple voices rising. The door bangs, bangs again, and there's loud laughter. People arriving, Slick thinks. They got out just in time. Worried they're gonna hear you? Slick asks, and gets both hands on Mace's hips, slides them down, hits a soft cloth sash, a connector clip, something metallic and sleek and body warm, and freezes. It's not a vibro sword. It's not any kind of blaster. Slick's never touched one before, but he's sure as hell seen pictures. Breath knotted in his throat, he jerks his head up, looks right into Mace's steady, watchful eyes. Looks at the lightning burn, a leftover from Sith lightning, from fighting Dooku. And there's only one Jedi who's managed to survive that as far as Slick is aware. The Master of the Jedi Order, the most wanted Jedi alive after Yoda himself, just looks back at Slick, perfectly calm and aware. And as lights sweep across the tree, illuminate him, Mace leans forward, pulls Slick in and kisses him, low and careful and light. There's a shout from just a few meters away, loud enough to startle, and Slick realizes 2 seconds too late what's going on. With a hiss of frustration, he slams Mace back up against the wood, grabs his ass and takes over the kiss, makes it hard and brutal and filthy as he grinds his hips forward into Mace's. Mace's sharp breath, his jolt, his suddenly tight grip, they're all heady, ridiculously hot, and Slick hates it. Hates that he wants this even though Mace is a carking Jedi. Hates that what Mace is won't be nearly enough to stop him right now. He
He digs in with his fingers, bites at Mace's mouth, shoves them together until there's not an inch of space between their bodies. And even when the drunk assholes move on, he doesn't let up. Mace doesn't try to pull away either, just lets Slick take what he needs. And Slick hates that too. He wants to break this man's defenses down, wants to make him cry or beg or lose every last bit of his composure, and he's a Jedi. He's a Jedi. Slick was supposed to be meeting someone who could lead him to someone who knew the Jedi. This is the very last thing he expected. Carking asshole, he growls against Mace's mouth. You were going to take me home and screw me without telling me what you were? Mace is just a little breathless when he pulls back, but the light of the moons above them is in his eyes, and he looks pleased, amused, maddeningly steady. Even when his mouth is bruised and bitten and Slick's hand is inches from his dick.
That would be awkward, Mace says, given that Chopper and several other of your men are currently in the only safe house I have access to.
Slick freezes, breath knotting up in his throat. Chopper. Chopper's alive. He's alive and sitting on his ass in a Jedi's house, and Slick never cared, but... But, you bastard, he says, ragged, and kisses Mace again. The end. If you enjoyed this podfic and feel like leaving feedback either for myself or for the authors, you're more than welcome to. You can find this podfic at wherever you found it in the first place, and that post is probably where you can leave feedback for me. From that post, there will be a link to the text post, and that's where you can leave feedback for the author. Thanks for listening!